Falun Gong is freely practiced in at least 57 countries around the world, but they're meant to be persecuted in China. The peaceful courage of practitioners there have shocked their oppressors and moved to the kingdom of the world. While China continues to block all information, FGMTV brings you the stories you may not hear anywhere else. Hello, and welcome to FGMTV on July the 23rd, 2002. I'm Susan Mitchell. The number of Falun Gong practitioners verified to have died while under detention as a result of mistreatment by the Jiang Zemin regime is 437. However, sources in China put the actual number in the thousands. Our top story this week, July the 20th, 2002, marked the third anniversary of the day Jiang Zemin began the persecution of Falun Gong in China. We have photo coverage from activities in major cities around the world. And some of our other stories, condemnation of China's new internet regulations from the Committee to Protect Journalists. Canadians launch a campaign to rescue their Falun Gong relatives in China who are illegally detained by the Jiang Zemin regime. And finally, a work unit supervisor in China helps a practitioner regain his withheld salary. First, our top story. The third anniversary of the beginning of the persecution against Falun Gong. In cities around the world, Falun Gong practitioners came out on July the 20th to honor those who have been murdered by Jiang Zemin's regime, to appeal to the hundreds of thousands still suffering in forced labor camps, jails, and detention centers throughout China, and to thank the millions of people who supported their efforts to end the persecution. On July the 22nd in Washington, D.C., the founder of Falun Dafa, Mr. Li Hongzhi, addressed 2,000 of his students at a conference where they had come to share their experiences of dealing with the current persecution by the Jiang Zemin regime. Mr. Li stressed the importance of being compassionate to everyone, including each other, and said again that each person must walk their own path with righteousness. In Hong Kong, at least 200 practitioners appealed for an end to the persecution, not only during the daylight hours, but also well into the evening with a candlelight vigil. Excerpts from the Committee to Protect Journalists press release issued on the 15th of July, 2002. The Committee to Protect Journalists, the CPJ, is gravely concerned by the passage of new regulations restricting online news in China. The regulations, together with a voluntary pledge signed by more than 300 companies and organizations including the U.S.-based Yahoo, to prevent distribution of quote-unquote harmful material online, indicate a clear step backward for freedom of expression in China. We condemn the government's efforts to force private internet companies to censor themselves, said CPJ Executive Director Ann Cooper. In Tokyo, practitioners stand for hours in the sweltering heat on the third anniversary of the beginning of Jiang Zemin's persecution against them. In Munich, Germany, practitioners from all over central and southern Germany walk solemnly through the streets of downtown Munich to bring attention to the third anniversary of Jiang Zemin's crackdown against their spiritual practice. On Thursday, July the 18th, joined by Member of Parliament Scott Reed, Chinese Canadians whose family members are incarcerated in China held a press conference inside the Parliament to present stories of the brutal suppression their loved ones are enduring. Out of hundreds of thousands detained, 15 are family members of 12 Canadian citizens and residents. One of them has been missing for over a year. Three have been persecuted to death. 12 are still in jail or labor camps. Here are brief details of four of their stories. 29-year-old Torontonian Tianying Peng said, Falun Dafa brought harmony into my twin sister's life, so she told her friends and colleagues that all the propaganda defaming Falun Dafa is a lie. She was taken away from her young baby and was sent to a labor camp. Shen Li Lin thanked Canada for assisting in his release from a Chinese labor camp. He said, my brother Ming Li was kidnapped and sent to a labor camp because he still refuses to give up his belief, even after repeated brainwashing classes and detention. I hope Canada can help gain the release of my brother and other Falun Gong practitioners, just as Canada has helped me. Yan Ying Wang said, my husband
Zhao Jinqiu was a chief art editor of a major newspaper in Jinan City. He and my son went to Beijing to appeal for Falun Gong. They were both arrested and sent to a labor camp for 3 years. Freedom of belief and expression are guaranteed by China's constitution. The Chinese authorities broke this law. Li Jiang's husband is an award-winning structural engineer who was imprisoned for sending truthful information about Falun Gong to his friends. She said, "When I last saw him in a prison hospital, he was so weak that he could not stand by himself. The healthy and energetic Li Jiu was barely with us. My heart was broken." Li Jiang immigrated to Canada last year. Last month, Amnesty International launched a campaign calling for the release of Li Jiahe and called him a prisoner of conscience. Member of Parliament Scott Reid, who helped with the successful rescue and return of Canadians or the relatives of Falun Gong practitioners, said, "I know that I'm backed up by all members of Parliament of all parties, that the Canadian government should do what it can to represent its willingness to accept these fine people as residents of Canada, and to encourage the Chinese government to once again act upon the principles of truth, compassion, forbearance, which motivate Falun Gong, and which are at the heart of the ancient Chinese civilization." And still in Canada, over the past 3 years, the Falun Dafa Association of Canada, which is made up of volunteer practitioners, has received several hundred letters from Canadian government officials at various levels calling on China to stop persecuting Falun Gong and expressing their support for the freedom of speech and freedom of belief. Some of those who wrote are three successive ministers of foreign affairs, Lloyd Axworthy, John Manley, and Bill Graham. Governor General Adrienne Clarkson, who through her secretary expressed her sympathy and support in this and every matter that involves the denial of human rights. Minister of Justice and Attorney General of Canada, Ms. Anne McClellan. Secretary of State for Asia Pacific of the Department of Foreign Affairs and International Trade, Mr. Raymond Chan. Minister for International Trade, Mr. Pierre S. Pettigrew. And Prime Minister Jean Chrétien. At a gathering on July the 20th in Dublin, Ireland, graduate student Ming Zhao, in the forefront of this picture, who was recently released from almost 2 years of torture in a Chinese labor camp, joins other practitioners and dignitaries who spoke out in support of Falun Gong, including Dr. Chris Nielsen from the Irish Foundation for Survivors of Torture. Condemnation of China's use of a blacklist to persecute American citizens. On July the 8th, American Falun Gong practitioners held a news conference in Times Square in New York City. A representative of the Falun Dafa Information Center explained that the governments of Iceland and Hong Kong recently utilized a blacklist provided by the Jiang Zemin regime to deny entry into their countries to American citizens who practice Falun Gong. They pointed out that this indicates that Jiang's regime has imported its state terrorism against Falun Gong to America, as well as to other democratic nations. Visitors to Parliament Hill in Ottawa, Canada, paused to read about the Falun Gong practitioners who've been murdered by the Jiang Zemin regime, while practitioners from Toronto, Ottawa, and Montreal performed the graceful exercises. And activities there continued into the evening with a solemn lotus-light vigil in front of the Chinese embassy. And over to Dortmund, Germany, where a newspaper reported that whatever activities are banned in China, they were not allowed in Dortmund either. The article said that in the past week, nearly 1,000 Chinese workers who were working on the smelting furnace equipment in the Westfalen smelter of Dortmund were under the so-called protection of their Chinese company supervisors. A Chinese Falun Gong practitioner who was studying in Dortmund attempted to provide the workers with some newspapers containing information about Falun Gong. She successfully passed out about 200 newspapers before being kicked out. At one exit of the smelter, a supervisor threatened the workers, saying, "Accepting any information or CDs on Falun Gong is strictly forbidden. Anyone who does this will be punished severely." The Falun Gong practitioner stated, however, that although the workers were threatened with being sent back to China as the punishment, many still accepted the newspaper when no one was looking. In its weekly item, Earth Week, Diary of the Planet, the Toronto Star reported that swarms of locusts invaded Beijing as temperatures soared to 40 degrees Celsius. Professor John Long of Beijing's Agriculture University said he's lived in Beijing for 20 years and has never seen so many locusts. In Taiwan, Falun Dafa practitioners in the Yilin area quietly study their teachers' books and send forth righteous thoughts around the clock on July the 20th. And more candlelight vigils in San Francisco, USA, and in Melbourne, Australia. And finally, a work unit supervisor helps retrieve a practitioner's withheld salary. A report has been received from a practitioner in China who was sentenced to forced labor re-education in the year 2000 for distributing Dafa truth-clarifying materials. He served his sentence outside of a labor camp. Because he refused to give up practicing Falun Gong, the 610 office of his work unit reduced his salary after July 2001, allowing him only basic living expenses. The practitioner related the second conversation he had with a new supervisor, who said, "On the issue of belief, let's put it aside. The reason I asked you to come here today is to ask if you have any difficulties in your life and work. What can I do for you?" I mentioned about going back to work and retrieving the deducted salary. He said, "Don't worry, let me take care of this." Soon, I went back to work again. Seeing that the chief did not make any trouble for me at all, nor did he mention the propaganda against Falun Dafa on television, my colleagues all felt very sympathetic toward me. The behavior of a leader plays a very important role in the behavior of his or her subordinates. It seems that it was not very easy to retrieve my deducted salary. The chief made phone calls and also wrote reports. Finally, a few days ago, another leader from my work unit told me, "Your salary has been reinstated. Go to the bank to claim it. Your work is excellent. There's nothing to pin on you." Our words were very powerful. Everyone spoke for you, and nobody said anything against you. The practitioner's report ended with the words, "Even in the most chaotic society, there are always people who will stand up to uphold justice. It is better to be a good person openly and with dignity. Thus, we can win people's hearts. It also helps to establish people's righteous thoughts and their confidence that truth and justice will prevail." Thanks for watching SGN TV, dedicated to breaking through China's information blockade, revealing propaganda, and bringing you the truth of Falun Gong.